This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. They had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Who do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him word, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him in a dream." Now, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. Then, and when he had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. And the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you,
Lord Christ. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. When you smash together the palms and the passion, it becomes a story of contrasts, a story of what everyone was thinking versus what actually took place. The story of what everyone wanted to happen and what God had said would happen. The story of the will of man versus the will of God. The expectations of the crowd on the Day of Palms are recorded in the Gospels remarkably similarly. As John recalls, they knew about the raising of Lazarus. They had heard about this great sign. Many witnesses had already made the trek to testify about it. And so the crowds expected an even greater sign. As the chief priests lament, the whole world has gone after him. Everyone was in the streets. And along with the hosannas and the various messianic titles, one particular one stood out. Even the King of Israel. Matthew has it, Hosanna to the Son of David. Mark melds it together, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. And Luke simply records, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. If this Jesus could resurrect a man dead for 4 days, he can certainly resurrect the lost kingdom. How exactly he would do this isn't spelled out. They all probably thought with great signs, like the 10 plagues. The king will say the word, and the blood, and the hail, and the gnats, and the frogs, and all of them will chase out the hated Romans. As the first stanza of our hymn of the day notes, this is actually quite odd. Jesus is not marching at the head of an army. No tramp of soldiers' marching feet. He does not have the full fife and drum corps with flags and banners and eagles flashing in the sunlight. And official Jerusalem is certainly not welcoming this. The bells are not pealing. The good and the great of the city are telling Jesus to tell his people to shut up. They're lamenting what they see as the foolishness of the people. And this Jesus comes into the city not in kingly pride, but riding a donkey. And nobody noticed this, not until he was glorified. And yet, Jesus does come. He knows what the crowd's expectations are. And he knows he is not going to do that. He knows that regardless of the palms and the cloaks, with every step, the cross draws near. And it is that cross that shall be his throne, not some noble seat. He knows the praise that the children sing is appropriate. And if they did not give it, the stones would cry out. But such praise from the stones would not change stony hearts. It would just multiply the witness against them. The miracles that had been done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom. They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But they did not understand these things. Not until he was glorified. And this is all astounding to Pilate. Are you the King of the Jews? It's a foolish question. If he were, his own people would not have handed him over. But Pilate's more interested in why did they even bother? Why did the crowds welcome him with palms? Why did the powerful men of the city wake me up at dawn? For this nobody. And Jesus refuses to answer. The man with actual kingly authority, that this prisoner has the ear of for 1 second, he could beg for his life, he could ask the king for a bit of grace. Because that's what Pilate wants to give. To be seen not as the Roman warlord, but the gracious ruler. But Jesus says nothing. He makes no appeal to earthly rule. And then the crowds start to realize something. The man that they welcomed with hosannas, the man who raised Lazarus from the dead, the man they expect to perform more signs and resurrect the kingdom of Israel, he isn't going to do any of that. Pilate parades him out, hoping to be gracious. What do you want, Barabbas, this stone-cold killer, or Jesus, who's called the Christ? Surely they will take this man they welcomed so warmly. But the crowds switch. Hosannas become crucified. He's not giving us what we want. The palms, how soon laid down. The streets, with tumult ring. And they did not understand these things, not until he was glorified. So Pilate hands him over, and various lower levels join in the mockery. The soldiers create the crown of thorns. Hail, King of the Jews! Those who crucify him put the sign above him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The chief priests join in the mocking. He flipped the tables in the temple, but it's we who have turned the tables on him, on this would-be Messiah. He saved others. He raised Lazarus. Let him raise himself. He's the King of Israel. If he comes down from the cross and does this, we will believe him. And they did not understand these things. Because he would come down from the cross. Not the way they meant. Joseph of Arimathea had to bring him down, but he would come down. He would come down all the way into the grave. He would come down all the way into that descent into hell. He would come down, and he would raise himself. They would receive that great sign of Jonah. He would raise himself after 3 days. And he would do this for those who had mocked him, for they did not understand these things. He would do this for those who drove the nails. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. He would do this for those who cried, "Crucify!" because they did not understand. He would refuse to appeal to anyone other than his heavenly Father. "Why have you forsaken me?" He would only appeal to heaven. The pilots of the world might understand later the limits of their power. Because Jesus would come down from the cross, be placed in the tomb where all the Marys knew where he was, and he would rise. He would be glorified, that we might know that God loves us, that we might know exactly what type of king we have. A king that we do not need to fear, for he has not come to judge and slaughter. A king that we do not have to flatter, because he already knows everything on our hearts, because he has come humbly on a donkey. A king that we do not need to send our blood or our son's blood or our labor or the rewards of our labor to support his petty kingdom, because he took the form of a servant. We have been saved by his work. We have been given his blood. He's been glorified. And we can understand these things now. That's what the church, the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, testifies to. The crucified one is the King of Glory. Open the doors of your hearts that he might come in. Lift up your heads and know that the one that we all crucified in our ignorance has turned it for our good. Behold, behold your King. Behold your King who comes in this age humbly, who comes heart by heart, who offers all of our misguided number his grace. Because today is the day to know. Today is the day to understand and to believe and to live. Tomorrow, the King returns. Tomorrow he returns not in grace, but in glory. Tomorrow, what we foolishly desired the first time, tomorrow he returns to reign. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Because tomorrow the King comes and great power and great glory. But today, today is the day of grace to understand these things. Amen.